Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Pei Gimel. At the end of our previous shiur, we noted that we were pausing in the middle of a discussion. So, just to recap a few of the main points, the general topic involves tumas avodah zarah. That's tuma communicated by contact with an idol. When we mention contact, we have to bear in mind that there are forms of tuma that are communicated even without direct physical contact, and that results from what is the source for this tumah of avodah zarah. So in our previous sugya, we mentioned that through psukim, we find avodah zarah compared to a nidah and compared to a sheretz. We saw a machlokes tanoim regarding the tumah that is applicable to an avodah zarah. And after learning the machlokes tanoim, we saw a machlokes amoroim between Rabbo and Rebbe Lozer as to how to understand the machlokes tanoim. In light of that background, and you might note that we had highlighted the names Rabbo and Rebbe Lozer back on Pei Beis Amid Beis, we continue in today's Gemara, starting with the triangle that you see 8 lines from the top. Asking questions, you'll see that the triangles are in effect questions focused on or against Rabbo's approach. And under our Mivneh heading on the side of our Gemara, you can see a triangle is featured, and we've written Kushios al Rabbo Mimakoros. We'll be asking questions on Rabbo's approach from sources Shebohem Mofiim Machlokes Chachomim Verebi Akiva. In these sources, the Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim will appear in their machlokes, and we will see from these sources how, at first glance, Rabbo's approach is difficult. So just to review, Rabbo had mentioned that as far as Tumas Avodah Zarah is concerned, that the Avodah Zarah communicates Tuma through Masa. Everyone agrees that it is communicated, that there is tumas maso by avodah zarah, and that is a function of comparing the avodah zarah, the fact the pasuk compared avodah zarah to a nidah. The whole machlokes revolves, is there also tumas even misamo? Now, we discussed these points in our last shiur, so if it's not clear, by all means, go over the information on Daf Pei Beis. Rebbe Lozer had mentioned that as far as Evan Misamo is concerned, everyone agrees there is no Evan Misamo by Avodah Zarah, and that the issue of Maso is a Machlokes. So once again, according to Rabbo, Maso is not a Machlokes. Whereas according to Rebbe Lozer, Tumas Maso itself is a Machlokes. Of course, when we say Machlokes, we mean the Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim. Let us proceed with our Gemara, Meisvei. Avodah Zarah Kesheretz, Umishamshel Kesheretz. The source tells us here on Daf Pei Gimel that Avodah Zarah is like Sheretz, and Sheretz means that there's Tumas Mago and no Tumas Maso, and Mishamshel, the service vessels used in the worship of the Avodah Zarah, also have the Sheretz characteristic. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah Kenida Umishamsheha Kesheretz. The Avodah Zarah itself has Nida properties, which would mean there is Tumas Masa, and the service vessels are like Sheretz. So regarding the service vessels, there is no Machlokes. The Gemara continues. Bishlamo LeRabbi Elazar Nicha. As far as Rebbe Lozer, the Amora, was concerned, he was our second diamond back on Pei Beis Amid Beis. There is no problem. In this source, we see that there is a machlokes concerning Masa. According to the Tana Kama, there's no Tumas Masa. According to Rabbi Akiva, there would be. Ela la Rabo Kashya. But according to Rabo, he said everyone agrees that by Avodah Zorah there is Masa. In this source, it doesn't appear that way. It seems that the Tana Kama denies Masa by Avodah Zorah. Omar loch Rabo. Rabo will answer. Mi alimo mi masnisen. Is this source any stronger than the Mishnah? Dikotoni. Now we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a pei beis amid beis indicator, which would mean that we're now going to quote from something mentioned back on pei beis amid beis, and it mentioned there Eitzov Avonov Yaforov Mitamen Kisheretz. That source was dealing with an Avodah Zorah, an idolatrous structure that fell down, and it mentioned that the wood, the stones, and the dirt communicate Tumas Sheretz. V'ukimno Maika Sheretz, and we established there what was meant by Sheretz. It meant the lo metama the even mesama. The comparison to Sheretz simply meant that it does not have Tumas Even Misama. Hochanami, so to hear the Tanakama that mentions Tumas Sheretz, it doesn't mean only Mago, which is characteristic of Sheretz, but it means to the exclusion Hochanami de lo mitama be Even Misama. All that's being excluded is Even Misama, but not to the exclusion of Tumas Masa. So that at this point, according to Rabo, this source which will follow the triangle, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva agree that there is Tumas Masa. And that's what Rabba originally said. Meisvei, we raise a question. Nochri v'nochris avujazoru misham sheha. Hein v'lo hesetan. Rabbi Akiva omer hein v'hesetan. This source will come under a great deal of analysis as the Gemara continues, but for the time being, let us appreciate the Gemara on its initial superficial level to appreciate the question. In this source, there is a reference to Avodah Zorah, and it mentions, the Tanakama mentions Velo Hesetan. Hesetan has to do with the realm of Tumas Masa. Without getting into any detail, that is sufficient for us right now. So the Tanakama would be saying Lo Hesetan, there is no Tumas Masa, and Rabbi Akiva says Hein VeHesetan, that there is Tumas Masa by Avodah Zorah. So the issue of Masa would be a Machlokes. Bishlamo Rebbe Lozer Nicha. This works out well according to Rebbe Lozer. We saw back on Pei Beis Amud Beis, Rebbe Lozer said that the issue of Tumas Masa by Avodah Zorah is a Machlokes between the Chacham and Rebbe Akiva. Elo la Rabba Kasha. But according to Rabba, who said everyone holds that there is Tumas Masa by Avodah Zorah, this source would seem to be a difficulty. Omar loch Rabba. Rabba will answer. Ulitameh. According to you who are trying to ask on me from this source, can you make sense of the following? Nochri v'nochris nami hein v'lo hesetan. A Gentile, whether he be female, male or female, that there is no Tumas Masa? That's not true. V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source, and in this source we've dashed underline, the end of the source says, Avogozru alehen shiu kezovin l'chol devrayan. This source indicates that Gentiles communicate Tumas Masa, just like a Zav. A Zav is a form of Tuma in the Torah, and the rabbis rule that Gentiles also communicate Tuma like a Zav, which indicates that they do have Tumas Masa. Therefore, the source that we just read can't be taken at face value. We'll have to explain further, and Rabba will explain himself shortly. But in the meantime, Rabba is defending himself and saying, you can't ask on me from this source, because the source as it is would appear to be inaccurate, being that it says Nochri v'nochris nami hein v'lo mitamon. It says that they don't have Tumas Masa. V'hotanya, how could that be? The source says Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'chulei. This is a posuk in Sefer Vayikra, and we learn from this pasuk, Bnei Yisrael metamin beziva, ve'ein nochrim metamin beziva, on a Torah level. Bnei Yisrael, which are featured in the pasuk, only they communicate tumas ziva, which is zav, and Gentiles do not. Avol gozru aleim shikizavim l'chol devrim, but there is a rabbinic ruling that makes the Gentiles like a zav with regard to all aspects. So, we know that a zav communicates tumas masa. So the source before that said something to the effect that the nochri v'nochris v'lo has seitan, that they don't have hesed, which is masa, it simply can't be understood as is. Elo, rabo mitaretz litame. And we will see a couple lines later, you'll see where we have a double underline, rabo lozer mitaretz litame. Rabo and Rebbe Lozer will each one explain the source we just did according to their respective approaches to the machlokes tanoim between Chachomim and Rebbe Akiva. There will be a third approach to that source, and that's what accounts for the numbering that you see, and a third double underline under Rav Ashi, who has his approach to the source. In the meantime, Elo, Rabo mitaretz l'tame. Rabo explains the source that we raised as a question on him. He explains it according to his tam, his approach. The source reads, Nochri v'nochris, hein v'heseton, v'even misamo shelohen. That means that the Gentiles communicate tuma through heset and through even misamo. Avodazora, hi v'heseto avolo, even misamo shelah. The Tanakama says that Avodah Zorah has masa but does not have tumas even misama. Rabbi Akiva Omer Avodah Zorah hi ve'seita ve'even misama shela. Rabbi Akiva is more stringent and says that idolatry communicates tumas hesed, which we said is masa plus even misama. So when you look at this new reading, this new understanding of the source, it comes out that both the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva hold that idolatry communicates Tumah through Masa. And that's very good. That's what Rabba originally said. That as far as Tumas Masa, there is no Machlokas. The Machlokas revolves only around Even Misamo. For Rebbe Lozer, Metaretz Letameh. Rebbe Lozer explains that same source, the second triangle source on the first wide line, according to his approach. It's as follows: Nochri v'nochris, hein v'heseton, v'even misamo shelohen. And this, by the way, is the same as Rabo's approach, that when it comes to the Gentiles, they communicate tumas mas, they communicate tumah through masa and even misamo. Avodah Zorah hi v'lo heseton. You notice with our markings, the dot underlining, you're able to see the difference between Rebbe Lozer's approach and Rabbo's approach. According to Rebbe Lozer, the Tanakama regarding Avodah Zorah says there is no masa. Rebbe Kiva Omer Avodah Zorah hi v'heseton. Rebbe Kiva says, as far as Avodah Zorah is concerned, there is masa. They, by the way, both the Tanakama and Rebbe Kiva will tell you, according to Rebbe Lozer, that there is no Even Misama. Even Misama was found only with regard to the Nochri V'Nochris. And this too conforms to Rebbe Lozer, who we saw back on Pei, Beis Amid Beis, the second diamond that you might have in front of you, or might recall, that regarding Even Misama, everyone agrees, that means the Chachomim and Rabbi Kiva agree, there is no Even Misama by idolatry. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. My hein. Rav Ashi has a difficulty with the approach that we've been taking so far, Rabo and Rebbe Lozer's rereading of the approach. There is no accounting for the word hein in that source. If you go back to the first wide line of Gemara, there, the source following the triangle had said, Nochri v'nochas avodah zorah mishamsha, hein v'lo heseton. What does the word hein mean? And that we haven't accounted for. So Rav Ashi has his approach to that source. Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Hochi Ka'omar. And Rav Ashi has a rereading of the source, and you can see we've treated his rereading in a frame. And we should point out ahead of time, Rashi makes this point, that the term Heseton is a reference to whatever we're talking about, the Nochri or the Avodah Zorah, they moving others. and the word hein will be a reference to their being moved by something or someone else. That's what we call masa. Standard masa is where the tome item is being moved, and the word hesetan will mean they're moving something else. And we now continue with Rav Ashi's understanding of that source. Ela Omar Rav Ashi, Hochi Ko Omar, Nochri V'Nochris, Gentiles, male and female, Bein Hein Shesitu Es Achirim, whether they moved something else, Bein Achirim Shehesitu Osan. This is the word we mentioned before, Hein, whether Achirim, others moved them. Tamein. In Gemara markings, we attempt to simplify situations where you have multiple variables. In this instance, in addition to the fact that you have a Tana Kama and Rabbi Kiva arguing, already creating two variables, we also have the issue of Nochri Nochris and Avodah Zorah, two more variables in each with regard to each Shita. To keep things simple, we like to point out where the machlokas is. We want to focus on where the machlokas is, and at the same time, we want to point out things that are not subject to machlokas. So that this last point, which is actually the first point of the source, the Nochri and Nochris, is not going to be a point of controversy. Namely, the Nochri and Nochris, whether they move others or others move them, there will be a communication of Tumah. In other words, there's Tumas Masa, once again, whether they move others or others move them. That is not going to be something that we have to focus on, because there is no machlokis about that. Continuing in the source, and you'll notice we have a dashed underline. This is to bring to the fore that this is where we are going to see a machlokis. So the Tanakama continues, Roman numeral number 2 in the source, Avodah Zorah, Shesito Achirim, Tahorim, the Avodah Zorah that causes the movement of something else. So the other item remains Tahor. Achirim shesitu osa tamein, but others that move or support the avodah zara, that's masa on the avodah zara, will the person or whatever is supporting the idol will become tomei. Now notice with our markings that we dot underlined the expression shesitu achirim. When we get to Rabbi Kiva, this too will be dot underlined shesitu achirim, and focusing on Avodah Zorah, you will see that this will be the point of Machlokes. So in the meantime, we continue with the Tanakama, who makes a distinction between it within the realm of Avodah Zorah, if they moved something else, so the other item remains Tor, but if someone else or something else moved them, that item will become Tomei. Continuing in the source, Misham Sheha, service vessels, Bein Hein Shesitu Esachirim, Bein Achim Shesitu Oson Tahorin. Likewise, with regard to Mesham Shehel, there will be no machlokas. So that makes things much easier in a sugya like this with so many variables. We can discount this aspect as well. No machlokas. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Nochri v'nochris v'avodah zorah. Now we've dashed on the line of avodah zorah because we want to draw your attention to that the point regarding avodah zorah will be a point of machlokas. So Rabbi Kiva says regarding the Nochri v'nochris and the idols, Bein Hein Shesitu Es Achirim, Bein Achirim Shesitu Osan Temeim. Notice with the markings, we've dashed underline Avodah Zorah, we dot underline Hesitu Es Achirim, and we dashed underline the word Temeim. So you have here, we've highlighted the case of Avodah Zorah, Shesitu Es Achirim, according to Rabbi Kiva, the item that was moved by the Avodah Zorah will become Tomei. This is not like the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama said Avodah Zorah Shesito Achirim remains Tahorin. We continue with the conclusion of the source as Rav Ashi sees it within Rabbi Akiva. Misham Sheha, Bein Hein Shesito Achirim, Bein Achirim Shesito Oson Tahorim. This is, and we wrote in here, Kamo Tana Kama. This is like the Tana Kama. The Gemara continues. Here, the Gemara is going to ask a technical question. In the source, we mentioned idols that move others and others that move idols. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean by that? We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which you can align with the star a few lines up above where this is referenced. Avodah Zorah, regarding idols. Bishlam Achim Shesitu Osan Mishkachas Lo. Very well, I can understand, I can imagine a case of others being masit, moving them, moving the idol. That's simple. How in the world can you imagine an idol moving something else? After all, an idol is something that's inert. It could be a stone. And many of you may recall the story or the medrash regarding Avraham Avinu and his father's store of idols, and how the idols, one idol smashed the rest, which of course was impossible and ridiculous. So how, with that background, in the world are we to understand an idol being masid achim, causing the movement of something else? Omar Rami Bray de Ravieva. Kedisnas, Rami says, well, we can answer that. We can explain this idea of an idol causing the movement of something else with the following example. And in this source that we're about to read, instead of reading about an idol, we're going to read about a Zav. And in your mind's eye, the same thing will apply to the idol. The source says, Hazav Bekaf Moznayim. A Zav is a male that had a certain type of emission that creates Tumas Zav. Imagine this person in a very large balance scale. That's a Kaf Moznayim. He's in the plate or the bowl on one side of a balance scale. The Oichun Umashkin Bekaf Shnia, and food or drink is on the other side of the balance scale. Korah Hazav Temein. If the Zav is weightier than the food and drink on the other side, Tamein, so the food and drink will become Tomei. In other words, the Zav weighted down and has caused the movement of the food and drink. He weighted down. Kor Oy Hain, if the food and drink are weightier than the Zav, so they are causing the movement of the Zav, so Tahorin, the food and drink will remain Tahor. The Rashi offers background to that. Tahorin, Rashi on the top line says, Disnan kol shazav nisa olav tahor. Anything that the zav is supported upon, it remains tahor. Chutz min haroy lemishkav u'moshav ha'odam, except for things that are designed for reclining and sitting. Other things, food and drink, will not become tomei because of the zav having applied his weight to them. Only things that are designed for sitting. As opposed to other things, that if the zav is, let's say, is leaning on it, we would tell him, get up, I need it for its design purpose. Things that are supporting the Zav, that are not designed for sitting, don't even become a Rishon level Tuma. The Torah, when it speaks about the Zav being supported, the Odom Ksiv, Vanose Osam. That is a pasuk regarding a person, but not food and drink. That which we learned before, that the Nochri and Nochrisen and the idol that are moved by others, the others become Tomei, but Odom Karmino, that's referring to a person that causes their movement. In this case, in the balance scale story we just had with the food and drink is not a person. So even though the food and drink is weighting down and causing the movement of the Zav, they remain Tohar. So before we go further in the Gemara, we are now at the top of Amud Beis. In the middle of the line, we will shortly start a question, beginning with the words Keman Azla. However, before we do that, just as we, let's say, we take an overview of the sugya before, we had back on Amud Beis, a machlokis between Rabba and Rebbe Lozer, and how to understand the machlokis tanoim between the Chachamim and Rebbe Akiva regarding Tuma of Avodah Zorah. We had a couple of questions focused or aimed at Rabba. Rabba explained he explained away the questions to his satisfaction, and then we saw Rav Ashi come in with a more elaborate reading of the second source that had been asked as Akasha on Rabba. So at this point, we have learned the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva regarding the Tuma that an Avodah Zorah will generate. We continue at the top of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, in the middle of the line, a question. The question lasts a few lines, and we have a long question marking, and that's indicated by the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Keman Azla Ha Desanya. Like whom will the following source conform? Kol hatmeos hamasitois tahoros, all different kinds of tuma that cause the movement of other things. And you can imagine the balance scale approach where something was tume on one side of the balance scale and it weighted down, causing something else to be on the other side to be elevated, to be moved. So these are all tumeos that are masitos, tahoros, chutz mehesetos shel zav, with the exception of the zav being on the one side of the balance scale, weighting down his side, causing the elevation of the items on the other side. Shelo motzinu lo, we don't find by other tumos chover b'chol haTorah kula. We don't find anything else that's quite like the zav. So at this point, then, we would say that the Zav that is Masit other things creates Tuma, imposes Tuma, or imparts Tuma to the other things, but not Avodah Zorah. So, Lema Dolo Rabbi Akiva. Should we say that this source is not like Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, and we just saw, that not only would a Zav do that, but Avodah Zorah also, if it weighted down on its side of the balance scale, would cause tuma to the other thing that was elevated as a result. And we saw that just now in the source, as Rav Ashi reread the source. We're going back to Omid Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Rav Ashi had read that according to Rabbi Akiva, Avodah Zorah shesitu es acherim, that Avodah Zorah that caused the movement of other things, and we explain that in terms of the balance scale, where the Avodah Zorah weighted down others, that would impart Tuma. Here, we see Azav might do that, but not Avodah Zorah. The Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Kiva, the source we just read could be understood according to Rabbi Kiva as well. Tana Zav, the Tana features Zav, however, V'chol D'domile, not to the exclusion of other things, but other things that are like Zav. What do we mean that? What then do we mean that Avodah Zorah is like Zav? So Rashi explains the Chod Domile, the Osi Meribuya de Zav, other things that are derived from Zav. Avodah Zorah Minido Gamri Dehainu Zav. Avodah Zorah we saw is derived from Nido. We saw the pasuk that we cited in our on Daf Pei Beis. The pasuk Tizraim Kamo Dova Tse Tomalo. Dova was a flow, and that was a reference to Nida, and Zav is just like Nida, and that pasuk was also talking about Avodah Zorah. Hence, Avodah Zorah is derived from Zav, and therefore this source that says we find Zav is Masit, something else, that other item becomes Tameh, that is not to the exclusion of Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah also will communicate Tuma if it's Masit other things. And that conforms to Rabbi Akiva as Rav Ashi had presented it. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a house shape, and on the side of the Gemara we have under our Mivneh heading the house form is featured, and we've indicated She'elois Be'inyan Tumas Avodah Zarah. So we have a question here, and another house form will appear a bit later, another Avodah Zarah Tumah related question. Under the first question, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and there's a Roman numeral number 2 that appears a few lines later to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating a second lashon in how to present this question. The marking, though, that we've used, you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a long question marking, she'ela. It's a long question marking. As you can see, we have a vertical descending dashed line. At the end of this long question, for better or for worse, the Gemara will not answer the question, but respond with a teku, meaning the question will remain unresolved. Structurally, though, we should note that the question is in the Aleph Odilma Beis format, whereby there's an Aleph, that means one side of the question, Odilma, or possibly a Beis, a second side of the question. The Odilma expression being that it is an expression of a transition from one side to another, we squiggle underline that. We use the squiggle underline marking very often when dealing with different expressions in the Gemara of transition, whether it's two sides of a question or two different versions of whatever, and that's what we will see in this Gemara. The Gemara continues now. Boy Rav Chama Bar Guria. Now this is a question that we've referenced already before a couple of times in the sugis, and here's the source of the question. Avodah Zarah. Yeshno Leivorim o Eino Leivorim. Is there Tumas Avodah Zarah with regard to the sections of an idol? And here we're talking about an idol that's made of pieces, interlocking pieces. Rashi refers to this in terms of chulios. Chulios would be discs that are attached to one another. So our question right now is, let us say you have a disassembled Avodah Zarah, an idol that's disassembled, and its pieces are what's under question right now. Do those pieces communicate Tumas Avodah Zarah or not? The Gemara continues, Heicha dehedyo yocholach zero loti bayloch. If the nature of this idol is such that a commoner, as opposed to an artisan or a professional, a commoner, a hedyot, could put it back together, then there is no question. The command de michburus domi. It's as if it's attached. That even though it's in a piece form, it's considered whole. It's considered attached, and therefore there would be tuma. The question comes under scrutiny in a case where the pieces need a professional artisan to assemble them into the idol. My, what is the din? And now the two sides of the question. Since a commoner cannot put it together, so it's as if it's broken. And since it's if it were in fact broken, so that would be grounds for suggesting that there would be no tuma. Oy dilma, or possibly ha lo mechsira. Nothing is missing. It's not something that's missing. All that you need is a professional to put the existing pieces together. So being that it's not missing anything, therefore it's considered whole, even though it hasn't been put together. So we just presented two sides of the question. According to this Roman numeral number 1, the question comes up when you need a professional to put it together. The Gemara continues, V'ika deboi lo lahach gisa. There are those that raise the question in the following direction. Heicha de'ein hedyot yocholach zero lo tiboi aloch. If you need a professional to put it together, then there is no question. The command de misbero domi. As it is right now, it's disassembled, so the pieces would be considered like as if they're broken, and they would not communicate Tumas Avodah Zarah. Ki tiboy aloch heicha dehedyot yocholach zero. My. The question arises when a commoner is able to put it together, where you don't need a professional. So under those circumstances, the question is being asked. do you say Aleph Kevon deHedyot Yochel Alzir Kamanda Mechbrodami? Since a commoner could put it together, so it's as if it is attached. It's as if it's whole, and therefore the pieces would communicate Tuma. Oy Dilma Hashtamia Koshalfa Visharia. Or do you look at the current status? Right now it is disassembled. Koshalfa, it's pulled apart, and therefore it's mutter, meaning it wouldn't communicate any Tuma. Teku. This remains unresolved. The Gemara continues with a new question. Boy, Rav Achdavuye bar Ami. Rav Achdavuye asks, Avodah Zarah p'chusa mikazayas mahu. A very small idol. It's complete, but it's less than an olive quantity in size. What is the din? Now, you'll notice that we have a bracketed section. The brackets here indicate something that we should skip initially. And if you skip down, you'll see the bracket length indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a vertical dash dotted line. If you skim down to the end of that marking, you'll notice at the end of the line, the brackets are closed. And afterwards, the Gemara says, Elo le'inyin tumo mai. The question of a very small Avodah Zarah, does it communicate tumo, will be the focus of the question. In the brackets, the Gemara is asking, well, you seem to be asking about a small idol, but with regard to what are you asking this? And if you suggest that you're asking about its permissibility, can you benefit from it, that would not be a question. That's a non-starter. Namely, even if the Avodah Zarah is very small, it's obvious that it's something forbidden to benefit from. So that wouldn't even be the subject of the question. Hence, we have to get to the Gemara after the brackets where the question comes up, and the question is a Tumah-related question. So we now start with the house. Boy, Rav Achdavuye Barami, Avodah Zarah p'chusa mikazayas mahu. An idol that is less than an olive quantity, what is the din? And we mentioned already before, we skipped initially and saw that the question is a Tumah-related question. That having been said, let's continue the Gemara straight through. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on the question. He asks, Lemai, what are you asking the question about? Ilemo le'inyan isura. If your question is regarding the permissibility to benefit from a very small idol, that is not a question. Lo yehe elo zvuv baal ekron. Let it be no different than the Zvuv of Baal Ekron. For our purposes, we put this in a phrase marking, Zvuv Baal Ekron. This is an idol, and it's a very small idol. The idol is called Zvuv, likely because a Zvuv is a fly, and it's a very small idol. It's as small as a fly, but it's an idol. And what does it say about this idol called Zvuv Baal Ekron? Disanyo, here we have a Tanaic source. Vayosem lohem Baal Bris Leluhim. Ze Zvuv Baal Ekron. This posuk is referring to that idol called Zvuv Baal Ekron. Malamed, this teaches us. Shekol Echad Ve'echad. In fact, in this posuk it says Bris. Bris is a covenant. It's a sign of a bond. So Malamed, Shekol Echad Ve'echad, also Demus Yiroso. Each one in the posuk in Sefer Shoftim made an image of his idol. You're also literally is that which he fears, but it's a reference to his idol. Umanicha b'sol kiso, and he placed it in his pocket. Kevon shezochra, when he reminds himself of his idol. Motzio mitoch kiso, mechabko menashka, he takes it out of his pocket and hugs it and kisses it. So this source shows us that there is an idol as small as a fly, which is something less than an olive in quantity, and it is considered an idol. It's considered Avodah Zarah, and an Avodah Zarah we know is something that is forbidden to benefit from. So there's no question about something that's very small. If it happens to be worshipped as an idol, it is something forbidden as idols, forbidden to benefit from them. They're also Bahano. Elo le'inyan tuma mai. The question, though, that we're asking, or that Rav Achdavuye is asking, is what is the din regarding an idol that's very small and its ability to communicate tumas avodah zarah? And here, too, we have two sides of the question, as you can see in Aleph, and shortly, oidilmo, that squiggle underline, beis, the second side. The Gemara, Kevon de Iskish l'sheretz. Since we know that idols are compared to a sheretz, we saw the pasuk earlier, pasuk in Dvorim, Shaketz to Shaksenu, that Shaketz is a sheretz, is a reference to a small creature, a sheretz, a dead sheretz, and we know that a dead sheretz communicates tumah. Ma sheretz b'chadosha, just like the sheretz communicates tumah when it is the size of an adosha. Adosha sometimes is translated as a lentil. It's something that is smaller than an olive quantity. So just like sheretz communicates tumah if you have an adosha amount, so too idols, if you have the an adosha size, it will communicate tumah. Oidoma, or possibly oiskish lemeis. We have another reference to avodah zarah being compared to the dead. Ma meis, because as just like tumas meis is communicated if you have an olive quantity of corpse flesh, af avodah zarah, because I so too, when it comes to an avodah zarah, it comes to idols, you would have to have a minimum of an olive quantity in order to communicate tumas avodah zarah. Omar Rav Avyo vitemo rabo bar ula tashma. So Rav Avyo, some versions have rabo, answer from the following source, Desanyo. Avodazoro Phusa Mikazayas Ain Bo Tumo Kol Iker. Notice we've dashed underlined what is the main point for us, that an Avodazoro smaller in size than an olive quantity does not communicate Tumo. Shnemar Vayashlech Esaforo Al Kever Benehoom. That is a posuk. Ma mace Mikazayas. In this posuk there is a reference to a kever, the dead, a mace, just like the mace is Mikazayas, an olive quantity, af Avodazoro Mikazayas. So too the Avodah Zorah is an olive quantity before you can talk about its tumah. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new question. That's why we have a period that precedes this, and we also have a long question marking. The kuf you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates the length of this question. Up till now, we have seen the Tanoim. We saw the Rabbanon and Rabbi Akiva comparing the Avodah Zorah to other forms of Tumah, to Sheretz and to a Nida. We saw the Chachomim taking an approach that was more lenient than that of Rabbi Akiva, and in comparing the Avodah Zorah to a Sheretz, the Rabbanon said that we learn from Sheretz that there's no Tumas Masa, and we learn from Nida, another leniency, that there is no Tumas Evorim. And we also compare Avodah Zorah to a mace, and that was the most recent comparison, that there's no Tumah less than a Kezias. 3 points of leniency. The Gemara's question is, why is it that the Rabbanan choose the root of leniency when you can take these three elements, Sheretz, Nida, and Mace, that you can see we've underlined them in the Gemara, three different types of Tumah sources that the Avodah Zorah is compared to, and use the comparison resulting in stringencies? Why didn't we take that approach? Why don't the Rabbanan take that approach? So now the Gemara, Rabbanan. Why, according to the Rabbanan, is there a scriptural comparison between Avodah Zorah and Sheretz? The lo mitame b'masa. This is something we've learned, that there is no Tumas Masa. This is the Shita of the Rabbanan that disagreed, that argued with Rabbi Akiva, that according to the Rabbanan, there is no Tumas Masa by Sheretz, by Avodah Zorah. Lenida, the Eino Leivorim. The comparison between Avodah Zorah and Nida is to tell me that there is no Tumas Avodah Zorah if it is not whole, if it's it's in pieces. Eivorim means it's in limb fashion, just like a Nida. There is no Tumas Nida with regard to her limbs, so too there is no Tumas Avodah Zorah if it's in limb portion, in a limb fashion. Lemes, the comparison of Avodah Zorah to the dead, the lo mitame b'chadosha, that if you have a small Avodah Zorah less than an olive in olive size and quantity, it won't communicate tumah. B'chadosha, as we mentioned before, that if it's a size of an adosha, even though it's a complete avodah zarah, won't communicate tuma. All of those are points of leniency. Why not say stringently? In other words, as follows. Why might the Torah compare avodah zarah to sheretz? To say that that avodah zarah communicates tuma the size of an adosha, which is similar to the way sheretz communicates tuma, even if it's a lentil size. Lenida, the comparison of avodah zarah to nida, l'tumuyah be'evin mesama. Just like a nida communicates tuma through evin mesama, so too the avodah zarah would do that. Akshu achmano lemeis l'tumuyah be'oil, and the Torah compares avodah zarah to mace to say that just like mace, there is tuma communicated through overshadowing. That's ohel. So too, avodah zarah, if you or an item of tara that are under the same overshadow, overhang as the idol, there would be tuma. The Gemara responds. The question, just to summarize the question, why in describing or comparing avodah zarah to sheretz, nida, and mace, do we take a lenient approach when you could have taken a chumrah, a stringent approach? The Gemara explains, answers, Tumas avodah zarah derabbanan hi. The whole realm of avodah zarah, of idols communicating tuma, is a rabbinic realm. V'kula v'chumra l'kula makshinon l'chumra lo makshinon. Since we're in a rabbinic realm and you have a choice of kula, of leniency, versus chumra, stringency, we compare l'kula. We can make the avodah zarah comparison to the other elements in the leniency, in the direction of leniency, and not in the direction of stringency. Once again, all because the realm of avodah zarah is a rabbinic realm. We now continue with a new Mishnah. Minayin l'svino shi'i tahora. From where do we know that a svino, a boat, is not mekabel tumah, is not subject to tumah? Shenemar, the pasuk says, derech oniya belev yam. That is a pasuk. Literally, it would translate it that the path of a boat is on the high seas. The Gemara opens up explaining the Mishnah, and you'll notice we have some numbering in the Gemara, and on the side of our Gemara, under our nosei, our structural note, we have written the following. Makoros, and we've noted here that this corresponds to numbers 1 and 2. These are Makoros, the Sfino, Eino Mekabelas Tuma, and we've noted that the Aleph and Beis represent V'nafgamina Beinehem. The Gemara will present differences between the sources. So the Gemara opens up explaining the Pasuk as the Mishnah quoted it with regard to the purity of boats. Pshita aniya belev yam hi. It's obvious that a boat travels on the high seas. So what is the point of the Pasuk? Ha komash malon. The Pasuk is trying to communicate the following. Kiyam, comparing a boat to the sea. Ma yam tor, just like the sea is tor. Af svino tor, so too a boat is something that is pure, that does not become tome. Tanya, we have another source. Hananya omer. Hananya says nilmido misak. We'll learn boats from the rule of sack, of sack. The Torah mentions different materials that are mekabel tuma, and one of the materials mentioned is sack. Sack is, as its name indicates, a sack. It's a sack made of goat's hair, sackcloth. Ma sack metaltem olav rekon, just like the nature of a sack is, it's something movable when it's full and when it's empty. That's the whole point. If you have a sack, you make it for holding things that you eventually will move around by moving the sack. So the sack is designed to be moved not only when it's empty, but also when it's full. Af kol metaltem olav rekon, so too anything else, any other vessel that is movable, not only when it's empty, but also when it's full, are things that are makabel tuma. In other words, the vessel will then be makabel tuma. Nafuke svina, to the exclusion of a boat, the eino metaltelas mole verekon. A boat is not something that you move around when it is full. you can move the boat when it's maybe when it's empty, but not when it's full. My binayu, what is the difference between the pasuk source that's derech oniyo b'lev yam versus the limud, the sack source for tuma? Iko binayu, and here we have an aleph. This is the first point of difference. Sfina shecheres. A point of difference would be a boat made of clay. Man de Omar oni yobalev yom, the one who says that the source of tahara of a boat is from the pasuk onami belev yam hi, a boat made of clay also travels on high seas, so it too will be like the sea and not mekabel tuma. Lamadamar kesak, however, the one who learns boat from sack. Now sack appears in the Torah along with other materials. However, in the list of materials that the Torah teaches along with sack, cheres is not included. Clay is not one of the materials compared to sack. So when we apply the standard of mole, of metalke mole verekon, it applies to the other materials that are taught alongside sack in the pasuk. The Gemara says, Lamandamar kisak, hanoch dechsivi gabi sack, those materials that the Torah writes alongside sack, if you can move them when they are not only empty but also full, then they will be mekabel tuma as vessels. Elo, and if you can't move them when they're full, lo, then they won't mekabel tuma. Avo sfina shecheres, but a boat made of clay. Afagav the eno metatel smolivarekon, even if you cannot move it when it's full, it will mekabel tuma. So that a boat made of cheres, if you learn from sack, so then it will mekabel tuma. If, however, you learn from derech oni b'lev yom, so it will not mekabel tuma. Up to this point, we noted, but maybe we didn't emphasize enough, a boat was perceived as something that is movable only if it's empty, but not when it's full. A boat loaded up with merchandise, with content, would be something you can't move. So, just to review the last nafkamina that we learned, the first nafkamina we learned, if you learn from lev yam, so we don't care whether it's movable full or not. It's compared to yam, and therefore repels tuma. It remains tahor. However, if you learn from sack, since a boat is something that you, ordinarily speaking, you cannot move it when it's full, so that standard won't apply to cheres. Namely, even though you can't move it when it's full, it still will be subject to kabbalas tuma, because cheres is not included in the pasuk along with the materials that are compared to sack. Inami, the Gemara continues with another nafkamina between the two hezberim. Sfinas ayardin. Sfinas ayardin is a very small type boat. In fact, it's something that even when it's full can be moved. So the Gemara says, Leman domar oni b'lev yam hi honami oni b'lev yam hi. According to the approach taken by the comparison of boat to the sea, so the Sfina Sayyadin, the small boat, also travels on the high seas, and therefore it won't mekabel tuma. Lamadomer metatelas mole verekon. However, if you say that boat is derived from sack, and that means something that is movable when it's full as well as when it's empty, is something that's subject to absorbing tuma. Honami metatelas mole verekon. The Sfina Sayyardin is something that can be moved even when it is full, and hence it will be subject to Kabbalas Tuma. Diomar Rabbi Chanino ben Akavya, Mipnei Ma Omru Sfina Sayyardin Tumea. Why is it that Sfina Sayyardin, this small kind of boat, is Mekabal Tuma? Mipnei Shetoanin Oso Biabosha. It's something that's loaded up on dry ground, something that you can pull up to the shore. Umaridin osa lemayim, and then you can lower it into the water. So you see that it's something that is, even after it's filled up, even after it's loaded up, it's something that you carry, move into the water. So it's called metata mole varekon, and therefore it has the same characteristics as sack, and therefore it is subject to, it would be subject to kabbalas tumah. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav. We have a double underline highlighting the expression le'olam alim le'odam es atzmo, and you'll see that we have two statements with the same, with that type of opening. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, le'olam alim le'odam es atzmo mi beis ha-medrash afilu sho achas. A person should not avoid or withdraw from the Beis Medrash, the study hall of Torah, even for a moment. Sharei kamashonim nishnes mishna zu beis medrash. For many years, this mishnah of the boat being tohor was taught as a mishnah in the Beis Medrash. V'lo nizgalet taimo, and its reason, the reason behind it, wasn't revealed. Ad shebo Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya upirsha, until Rabbi Chanina came along and explained it. We just saw his explanation a couple lines up, where we underlined his name. He featured the Sfinas HaYarden, that was that small type boat, as being Mekabel Tumah because it's movable when it is full, leaving us room for understanding that if you couldn't move it when it's full, so it wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Yonason, le'olam al yimna odom es atzmo mi beis ha-medrash umi divrei Torah fil b'shas misa. A person should not withdraw himself from Torah learning, and that means from the beis medrash and from Torah learning, even in the throes of death. Shinemar zois ha-Torah odom kiyumus bo'oyol. That is a pasuk, and you see in this pasuk you see the term Torah and misa. Afilu b'shas misa te oisek b'torah means even in the throes of death, a person should strive and struggle to be occupied with Torah learning. Omar Reish Lakish ein divrei Torah miskaimen elo b'misha mein misatzmoy aleha. One will not preserve his Torah learning, won't be capable of remembering his Torah learning, of maintaining his Torah learning, unless he kills himself over it. And kills himself over it has to do with someone who puts his all out for it, who even under, let's say, trying circumstances, continues learning. And elsewhere it's explained he doesn't learn a Torah while also daintying himself, but rather learns in a form of strain and commitment. So he says, Reish Lakish says, that Divrei Torah will not last unless you kill yourself over it. Shenemar zoisater odom ki yomus bo'ohel. The same pasuk that was quoted a moment before is also cited by Reish Lakish as his source. Omar Rava. We continue at the top of Pei Dalet Omed Aleph. Rava makes a point. And now this point is a long point, and we've used a long point marking, the nun that's encircled to the medium right-hand side of the more text here at the top of Pei Dalet. This nun is followed by a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines are necessary to see the point that is being made. So Rava says, Hananya described the Sfinas HaYarden as being Tomei by virtue of the fact that it's loaded up on dry land and then it's drawn into the water. How is it brought into the water after it's been loaded up? Well, it's brought into the water by being drawn by oxen. So the Gemara points out that according to Hananya, tiltul al yedei shvarim shmei tiltul. The movement done by oxen is also called movement. In other words, we have a standard that if something is metaltel, if a vessel is metaltel, is movable, mole v'reikon, not only when it's rake, when it's empty, but also when it's full, so it's considered something that's like sack, and hence that kind of vessel will mekabel tumah. When we speak about it's moved, the intention of Hananya is to tell us not only if a man moves it, let's say you have something that is quite heavy when it's full, and it can't be moved by a man, but you would need an ox to move it, that nevertheless is considered movement. and grants tumah status or potential for kabbalah's tumah all the same. So that's the point that's being made now. The tiltal de shvorim shmei tiltal. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source, and in this Tanaic source, this idea will be communicated. The source is broken down into two parts, and we have diamonds that are used to do that. They surround the word shalosh, and there are three types of agolos, are carts, and later in the source, shalosh tevos, three types of boxes or chests. And we will see this source describes different kinds of tumas that are relevant to the three different kinds of carts and later boxes. And in the course of this discussion, we want to see this idea of something that is movable, but you would need an ox to move it. And as such, it would be considered metata moliv rekon. And just to repeat a point that we've mentioned already a number of times, when we speak about vessels being capable of absorbing tumah, they have to have the characteristics of sack, something like a sack. A sack is something that you are able to move it not only when it's empty, but also when it is full. The source says, Disnan Sholosh Agolos Hein, there are three halachas regarding carts. Number one, Asuya Ke Katedra, Tameo Medris, a cart that is surrounded by sides, on three sides, that's a katedra, is something that is mekabel tumas medrash. That means it's made for sitting in it. It's made for reclining in it. A person will sit or recline inside such a cart that's made like a katedra. And since it's designed for sitting, it is subject to tumas medrash. Tumas medrash is that realm of tumah where people like a nida or a zav, where they have tumah yotzei migufan, tumas that come forth from their bodies, those kind of people, if they recline on something that's designed for reclining. The word medrash, by the way, reminds you of the word mattress, and that is its essence. Things like that become tumah to the extent that they become an avatumah. They would then, after a zav, let us say, reclines on a bed or sits on a chair, that chair could be metama, a person as well. That's a very high-level form of tuma. The next kind of cart is kemita. It's a type of flatbed cart. Rashi says, shi'aruka umitachteo mekabeles kemita shel or she'en lo shum nekev. It's a long type cart, and it supports things on its top. In other words, it's a flatbed cart. We can say tomei mace. It will be kabel tuma. Mace is one example of tuma. Different kinds of tuma, but one thing that one main point here is that it's mekabel tumas mace to the exclusion of tumas medrash. This kind of cart is not designed for reclining or for sitting. It rather is designed for being loaded up with merchandise. And therefore, if you would find someone that's leaning or lying on such a cart, and you wanted to use it for its design purpose, you would tell him, get up, we need it for transportation of items. And the term that we apply to this situation is called amod v'nasim lachtenu, get up from the cart, we need it for our work. Number three, shel avonim, tahora miklum. There are carts that are designed for transporting stones. These kind of carts have a frame that is built on wheels, and it has it might have a flat bed to it, but it might have very large holes in it as well. But the holes don't bother us, don't interfere with its functionality, because it's used for hauling stones. The stones obviously larger than the holes that might be on this cart. There's a Gemara interruption, but which we will read straight, but the presence of the brackets indicates that it's part of the Gemara, as opposed to the Tanaic source. The Omer of Yochanan, the Yesh Bo Beis Kibul Rimonim, if this cart designed for stones has, though it may have holes in it, but the holes aren't very large, it's a kind of cart that could hold rimonim. We are often translated as pomegranate. So the holes have a certain measure diameter to them, but not greater than that of a rimon, so that rimonim fruits wouldn't fall out. So if it's a cart like that, tamea, tame, mace, then it will mekabel tuma. Now, the main thing for us, though, is really what we've dashed underlined, where it says tamea, tame, mace. Here you have a cart that you can't, if it's loaded with stones, it's very, very heavy. A person wouldn't be able to draw such a cart. You would need oxen to draw it. And yet, we say that it's mekabel tuma. A vessel that is metata molivarekon, that it's movable even when it's full, we say is mekabel tuma. Even though a person wouldn't be able to move this, you would need oxen to move it. Nevertheless, it falls under the category of metatel molivarekon. So we see from here that tiltel ayadei shvorim is considered tiltel. Movement that you would require oxen to generate is nevertheless considered movement, enabling this kind of cart to mekabel tuma. Shalosh tevas, hein, there are three laws or categories regarding boxes or chests. Tevas shepischa mitzida, a type of chest whose opening is from the side. In other words, you can enter it, you can use it, open it, and close it through its door from the side. Tameo medris, it is subject to tumas medris because you could at the same time have someone lying on top of it and still it being useful without telling the zav or the nida to get off of it because the opening to it is from the side. So it, in that sense, it is designed for sitting and reclining. Mi lamalo, if the lid is from the top, then tameo tome mace. So it's a functioning vessel, but it's not something that can be used for reclining. Because if someone attempts to lie on top of it, he's basically lying on top of its lid or its door, you would tell him to get off of it because you need to put things in or take things out of it. So it's not designed for reclining. Therefore, it's mekabel tuma, like tumas meis, other kinds of tuma, but not tumas medris. Vabo b'mida, a chest that's very large. The expression "bo mido" is very large. It's a type of wall closet, if you will. Something that when it's full, you wouldn't be able to move it at all. Tahora miklum. So such a chest or a closet would not be mekabel tuma, being that it's not like sock. So it's not something movable when full. Therefore, as we said, it's not subject to kabolas tuma. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.